Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Although we had a big day yesterday, but God has refreshed us and given us a good night's sleep and enabled us to come in the morning and to worship Him and to hear His small and still voice and to get admonishment and encouragement from His word. It's great joy to be in the midst of the Lord's people. Lord was talking to all of us yesterday regarding how to serve Him, how we can minister unto our fellow brothers, and how we should be. So it's a great ministry. I was personally encouraged. Yeah. So for today's meditation, let's turn our Bibles to John's Gospel, 17th chapter. Gospel according to John, 17th chapter. Raj, can you help me to read? Can you read it loud for everyone? Yeah, John's Gospel, 17th chapter, entire chapter, please. Full chapter.
Oh, okay. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, and Thy Son also may glorify Thee, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them me, and they have kept Thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given me are of Thee. For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from Thee, and they have believed that Thou didst send me. I prayed for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine, and all mine are Thine, and Thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee. Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to Thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them Thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is true. As Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. And the glory which Thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and Thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, and as Thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them.
Thank you, Raj, for that reading. According to the Bible scholars, they have searched and analyzed and found out that there are around 650 specific prayers in the Bible recorded, and also out of which 450 are the answers to the prayers also recorded in the Word of God. If you see in the Word of God, great men of God, they prayed. Yesterday we saw that we have to follow the footsteps of our model. So we have models in our Bible. Some of us like Abraham, some of us like David, some of us like Moses, some of us like Daniel, some of us like Jeremiah, and every one of us like Jesus Christ. So he is the great example, and he is a great model. And we know the importance of prayer, and we heard many times, and we read many times, and we don't know the greatness of prayer. So that's why it's a need of the hour and a need of everyone. It's not only me, not only for us, but everyone. That's why one of the anonymous name has mentioned, not mentioned in the Bible, Luke 11 chapter 1st verse, the disciple come and ask, Lord, teach us to pray. He didn't ask, Lord, teach me to pray, but teach us. He knows the need of other disciples, and he identified with them. And on their behalf, he's asking, Lord, teach us to pray. So in order to Lord to teach us how to pray, let's look to the God so that whatever we have read, Lord may bless it to our hearts. We may know the greatness or the importance of prayer life in our spiritual life. Let's bow down our heads and let's look unto the God. Heavenly gracious Father, it's a great privilege to call thee Father. Most of the people in this world, they don't know, or they haven't experienced that fatherly love. But you have given us that privilege to call thee Father and Abba through your Son Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Once again, we come to thy throne of grace. You are the Heavenly Father who understands our needs, who knows our needs, and you knows what is important in our lives, O Father. You want to speak to us. You want to correct in our lives what we are lacking, O Father. O Father, speak to us. Speak to me especially, O Father, so that we may be a choiceful, Father, our vessels of you, so that we may serve you in this world. You have chosen us to serve you. You have chosen us to minister you and to demonstrate you, O Father, in this world, O Father. Help us, O Father, as thank you, Lord, for the great message, the great example which you have kept for us in John's Gospel 17th chapter, O Father. It's, O Father, beyond our understanding. But you have given us your Spirit of God, through which this chapter has been recorded. Father, help us, enable us to understand in little portion, so that we may obey it and implement in our daily lives, O Father. Yes, Father, we are lagging in our prayer lives. Yes, Father, we need, O Father, to come to you in all circumstances. Help us, speak to us. In Jesus Christ's precious name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. And John's Gospel, 7th chapter, they call in the New Testament, it's Holy of the Holies. The Holy of the Holies. Here, one of the great man of God says that it's the longest prayer, not in the sense 26 verses. It's the emotional and the relationship which he has with the God the Father. And other sense, when Jesus Christ prayed, he covered from eternity past to eternity future. He covers us also in that prayer. The church of God, disciples, everything he has covered. That's the longest prayer. So in this chapter we have 26 verses. Anyone observed how much time it took to read those 26 verses? It took almost 6 to 7 minutes. But the richness and the abundance which God has kept in this chapter is marvelous. It is called as one of the, it's the greatest prayer recorded in the Bible. It's the greatest. So we'll see why it's called the greatest prayer recorded in the Bible. So first reason is the person who prayed the prayer. The person who prayed the prayer. So why I chosen this chapter, because a couple of two, three weeks back, I was spiritually down. It was a little bit struggling. And then a couple of weeks back, I asked Johnson, I was going through this. And he said that, pray. Pray. So, yeah, that's a prayer. And eventually, I was listening. Usually, I listen messages on the one of the website. So, it's from the Back to Bible. They are celebrating their 75th anniversary. From their archives, they are bringing back one of the second founding father of the Back to Bible was Theodore Williams. If you got a chance to read his testimony, it's encouraging. Get it and read. And after him was Warren Wiersbe. He took up head of Back to Bible in 1980s. So I like how he exposed the Word of God and exposed it to studies. So they brought up that archives and they are putting on the broadcast. The series which they put last week was Notable Prayers of Man of God in Bible. So first was Abraham, then Moses, and then it was David, Solomon, then came Jesus. And also I heard the message about this chapter when I was growing in my spiritual life back 4 or 5 years back. I have noted down some notes. So I thought, let me look back my notes, because all my notes were in India. So when I went India, it was in diary. I teared up and I packed and I brought almost all my notes here. So I was last night I was searching for the notes in mom's bedroom, and I at last, by the grace of God, I got it, and I was going through what I was note down and what I was hearing. So I'm bringing putting forth in a combined way, and I'm telling to you. So it's not my own, but I learned and I have heard. I'm telling you. So, yeah, the greatest, first reason for the greatest prayer, when we say greatest prayer recorded in the Bible, because the person who prayed the prayer. Who is praying here?
Jesus.
He is the Son of God. He is the Son of God and second person in the Trinity. He is God the Son. It's God the Son. He is praying. He is praying, and the entire book of Gospel is dedicated when we say, Mark tells that he's the Son of God, and Matthew tells that he's the King of Kings, and what John says, what he wants to tell to the people, he's the Son of God, or deity of deity of God. So in all through the John's Gospel, he tells, and one of the example is John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. Can someone read it for me? John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, two verses.
And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that he might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing he might have life to his name.
Yeah, he is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. And as we read through that John's Gospel 17th chapter, so he is praying to the God the Father. He is the Son of God praying to the God the Father, the person who is praying the prayer. And what he is praying? This prayer can only be prayed by the Son of God, or the God the Son, because saying that, God, Father, glorify me. Can you and me pray like that? No, we can't pray. He is the Son of God. He is God the Son. And in Old Testament, Moses wants to see the glory of God. And he said that, Lord, show me your glory. He was praying. Isn't it? Yeah, God answered his prayer. Moses prayed and showed the glory. But he never prayed, Lord, glorify me. Because God the Son of God, is already been in glory before he came into this world as a Son of Man. So he's saying that, whatever glory which I has to be, please glorify me. Glorify me. And second thing is, through him only we have salvation. Verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And third verse. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, that only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So he has only authority to give that eternal life. That's the salvation. And the third one is, he's praying, 10th verse, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, I am glorified in thee. Can we say that all are mine? No, only Son of God can say. That's why he's saying that all are mine, and thine are, mine are thine. So he is the Son of God. In his all his perfection, in all his perfect life, Jesus Christ prayed. So how much more me and you? We all of us has to pray. We are all busy. We are working in stressful society. We have to work 12 hours sometimes. And we have family priorities. We have ministry priorities, everything. But God may help us to know the importance of prayer. When we try to minimize or neglect the importance of prayer, or greatness of prayer, let's remember, Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed. So he prayed. So it's one of the greatest prayer, because the person who prayed the prayer. And the second reason is because the petitions in the prayer. Petitions in the prayer. So whom he is praying for? For what he is praying for? So in this verse 1 to 19, there are three petitions, or he is praying for three different people, kinds of people, or we can categorize the three different things. One is, he is praying for himself. He is praying for himself. First five verses, he is praying for himself. He is saying that, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. The first five verses is praying for himself. From 3 to 6, he is praying for the disciples. And from 6 to 19, he is praying for the church. So, is Lord is praying selfish prayer? He's saying that, Father, glorify me. Is it a selfish prayer? No. Why? Because he is asking God to glorify him. In sense, he's praying God, when he said glorify me, he's talking about the cross and the resurrection that's going to happen. Unless God answers that prayer, we are not going to be saved. It's not a selfish prayer. Unless Lord dies for us and rose again on the third day and enters into the most holy place, heavenly place, we are not going to be saved. So, one of the, it's the reason we are sitting here. Because Lord has answered, God the Father has answered the Jesus Christ prayer, and he has glorified him, and we are sitting here, acknowledging that he has died for me, and rose again third day. So he is praying for, not for himself, but he is praying for all of us. And we have to remember today, that glorious God is sitting in the heavenly places to keep us and to save us. We may be going through different situations. We must not be understanding what's going on in my life, what God is going to do, what is plan and purpose for me. But he is sitting in the right side of the Father. is glorified God, He is heavenly God, and we have access to come to His presence anytime, in the time of need, not only time of crisis, but every day, day-to-day life. So He prayed for Himself. Second, He prayed for His disciples. From 6 to 19, He is praying for His disciples. Ninth verse, I will read for you. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given Me, for they are Mine. They are Thine, sorry. Yeah. Here He is praying for the disciples, because God has given that to His Son. In this whole chapter, you'll see that phrase often. God has given His Son to us, and He has Father has given us to Son, and Son has given us to Father, and all these transactions you can see in this chapter. So here, God is praying, Jesus Christ is praying about His disciples, not about the world, but about the disciples, or the one God has given to Him. So for what He is praying for them? He is praying for them for two things. One is for the sanctification, other for the security. Let's read verse 11 onwards. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come to Thee, Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me, that they may be one as we are. And also, 12th verse, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest Me have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. 13th, and now I come to Thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have joy fulfilled in themselves. 14th, I have given them Thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. 15th, I pray not that Thou should take them out of the world, but Thou should keep them from the evil. 16th and 17th, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through Thy truth, and Thy word is truth. So here He is praying for His disciples about their security and sanctification. See, in verse 2, He has saved us by giving eternal life. It's a salvation. He has dealt with our past. He has paid all our debt of sin on the cross of Calvary, and He has given His eternal life to us. And here He's talking about, and He's praying about their security. He has enabled us, or He has made us to born into the family of God, and He's praying to keep us, because we are in the world. Because we are in the world. And also He's praying to God to sanctify them, or to cleanse them in day to day. So when He has forgiven yesterday, we were listening, reconciliation. It's when we come to the Christ at the cross, and when we ask the forgiveness, He has reconciled to the God. But there is a day-to-day reconciliation. There may be things which God doesn't like in our life, we may be entertaining. We need to be reconciled with the God. In the same way, God is talking about the daily cleansing. So that's why one of the question was give an example of when Jesus Christ served His disciples. Raj was given that answer, if I am not wrong. He said that Jesus Christ washed the feet of the disciples. So at that in that chapter, when we see, Peter says, "No, Master, don't wash my feet." And He says, "Unless I wash thee, you have not part in my party." So He's not, He gives an example that once He has washed, He took bath, there is no need for Him to take bath again, but He has to wash His feet. When Peter says, he overexcited and says, "Oh Lord, then wash me." In the sense, when we come to the Christ, He has washed us as a whole. But when rubber touches the ground, as we walk in this world, we may get dusted. So we come to the cross, we come to the presence of God, and we ask Him. Sometimes we may not recognize or understand or convince in the heart that we are at that dust or that sin in our life, when we come into the presence of God, God will speak to us and He will convince. So if you obey Him, He will cleanse us. So in order to keep them and in order to sanctify them, how He is going to do that? Two things He has given. He has given His name. The verse which we have read, He said that, I have given My name or Thy name. What does it speaks about? Name. Name speaks about the nature of God or the attribute of God. So nature of God will keep us. And we know the verse very well, Proverbs 18:10. What is that, Raj? You know, Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is?
Strong.
Strong tower. Strong tower. And righteous will run into it and be safe. Yeah. So we are in this world. We are fighting the enemy who is more powerful, more stronger than us. So what we will do in order to get strength? We'll run into His presence. What is His name? Name is nature. What is nature? He is faithful. He is faithful God. What He has saved, what He has started in us, He'll complete it. That is His nature. He's a merciful God. He is a compassionate God. He is a loving God. So that is His nature. So He won't act against His nature. That's why when men of God, if you read through Old Testament, saints and the New Testament, when they prayed, all their prayers were dependent on the nature of God. When Abraham was interceding about the Sodom and Gomorrah, His righteous God is going to destroy the righteous along with the sinners? He won't. Like they depended or they prayed based on the righteous or the nature of God. So many times our prayers will be like Pharisees, like we pray based on our qualification or qualities. But none will take into the presence of God. You may tell like Ezekiel prayed that when God sent the prophets saying that you are going to die, he prayed, he went to the wall and prayed, Lord, I obeyed your voice, I am perfect in heart to obey you. But he's not telling that, Lord, I am good, you save me, give me, extend my life. But he's saying he's, in the Old Testament, God has given, if you walk in my ways, in my statutes, I'll keep you. So he's claiming that promise in the presence of God. And he was praying. And his prayer was answered. So name of the God is the nature of the God. And it will keep us. And what will sanctify us is the word. I have given my word unto you. And 17th verse, it says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. So in 13 chapter to 16 chapter, God was instructing the disciples. And 17th chapter, He was praying. So prayer and the word of God goes together. There is a balance between prayer and the word of God. If you lose that balance, if we, like, have the knowledge of Word of God and there is no prayer life, we'll end up having the own knowledge without power. So we have the power, prayer, but no Word of God, we end up legalistic, fanatics. So, and also we are meditating in the first Samuel, about the Samuel. He says that, I'll be sinning if I won't pray for you. Isn't it? In the same time, he says that I'll instruct them also. In Acts of Apostles, when there was a dissension against the elders, where there was a partiality, they said that widows of the Gentiles or the Greeks were not shown what Peter said. So we will devote ourselves to the prayer and instruction. So it's always the word of God. And the prayer goes hand in hand. So, he prayed for himself. He prayed for the disciple for their security and their sanctity. And he prayed for the church, that you and me. He prayed for you and me. See the verse. verse 20 and 21, I will read for you. Neither I pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in them, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. In verse 20, he says that not only for the disciples, for all of them, those who believe, hearing their word. Whose word? Disciples' word. So, disciples heard the word of Jesus Christ, and they went on preaching, and people started believing on the truth of the word of God, and Lord is praying for them also. We have also, like that word was passed unto us, and God is praying for you and me also, isn't it? So he has included, that's the longest prayer, he covered entire 20 centuries, till he comes. So he has prayed for the church also. So he prayed that they may be one. They may be one. He's prayed for the unity of them. Mm-hmm. It's very sad to see in our midst, among, we came with many divisions, and we have seen many dissensions among the churches. It's very sad to the heart of God, and there was a broken relationships and all those things. Mm-hmm. But Lord is praying for the unity. He's not praying for the uniformity. Yesterday, he was showing one slide. He said that every saint of God is separate and is necessary for him. Isn't it? If entire body is eye, where is the hands? So in the church of God, see, we have hands, we have legs, we have eyes, ears. Everything is different. But there is a unity. They are attached to the head, God, Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. Isn't it? He's praying for the unity of the church. Yes, we have to speak truth, but truth, we have to speak the truth in love. And while expressing the truth, we have to express the unity of God. Sometimes the truth may hurt other person, but it won't harm them in the long term. And as a result, ultimately God is going to get the glory. So he's praying for the unity of the church. And also he says that verse 22, and the glory which thou hast given me I have given them, that they may be one, as even as we are one. God has given his glory. Although we may have a different versions of Bible, but we have the same glory as the Christians. We share the same glory. We share the same life, so that we may be one. So that we may share that oneness and the unity in the life of Jesus Christ and the glory of God. Yeah. So we saw first is the greatest prayer, because the person who prayed the prayer. Second is the petitions in the prayer. He prayed for himself, he prayed for the disciples, he prayed for the church. Mm-hmm. And third is the purpose involved in it. Why he was praying? What was the purpose? Mm-hmm. The purpose is to glorify God. Mm-hmm. You see the first verse? Jesus Christ is praying, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, and thy Son also may glorify thee. Glorify thy Son, that he may also glorify thee. The purpose of prayer is to glorify God the Father. So, what's the purpose of our prayer life? What's the purpose? So, many of our selfish prayers and many things which is not relevant to God will be filtered out when we see the purpose of God. So, are we seeing the purpose of God when we pray, or when we are serving God, or when we are ministering to others? Are we seeing our own purposes? There are 8 times it's mentioned the gospel in the same chapter of the about the glory of God, and 41 times in the John's Gospel, speaks about the glory of God. In the Old Testament, glory of God speaks about the presence of God. When Israelites came out of the Canaan, Egypt, on the way to Canaan, that God's presence was with them. Glory of God was with them. Shekinah glory. And the New Testament, it speaks about the splendor and brightness of His majesty. So when we combine both, we'll see the expression of His nature, our expression of His attributes. Yeah. So, Word of God reveals that nature, our attributes of God, so that we may understand Him more, and we know Him more, and we depend upon Him more. When we pray less, or when we diminish the importance of prayer in our life, what we are doing, we are saying, Lord, I can manage myself, I don't need you. But Lord Jesus Christ, when He was on the earth, for everything, He depended on the God the Father. Although He's the perfect man, and with His perfection, He depended on the God. Yeah. So purpose of the prayer should be for the glory of God. In verse, He says that He says that He came from the glory, and He left that glory behind. He came into this world, and He glorified God in what He has done. And not only that, He has given that glory to us, so that we may glorify Him. Verse 10. And not only that, one day we are going to share His glory. Isn't it wonderful? So Lord has left His glory, came down into this world, and He glorified God. And He has given that glory to us, so that we may glorify Him, and we are going to share the same glory in heaven. So that's the privilege of the having a great Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only purpose of prayer, but also last one, the price which is paid to answer to that prayer. You know the price was paid to get answer to that prayer. Jesus Christ, His life was laid on the cross of Calvary. Yesterday we were listening. He became a servant. He became a servant. And in that Eastern culture, a beard part is the important part in their body. That's what He was saying. And He has given His cheeks to pluck the hair. Jesus Christ has given His. In order to pay your sin and my sin. He paid on the cross of Calvary. Prayer is easy, but it's not cheap. It's expensive. It's so expensive that Lord has left His glory, came down as a man, and lived as a man, and He was put to shame for you and me. And He became a lamb who went for the slaughter. And He paid the price. But all that expensive thing we have inherited in grace. In grace He has given it. It's a privilege to pray. Because the price is paid by our Savior on the cross of Calvary. But one thing, when we pray, we have to pray, Father. We can't call Him Father unless we born into the family of God. We can't born into the family of God unless we do something about our sin in our life. Thank God, God has done everything for us on the cross of Calvary. And He has paid the price, and He has given that privilege to you and me. So how we are taking that privilege? Are we making use of that privilege? So, as a disciple of God, Jesus Christ came to Him and asked, Lord, teach us to pray. May Lord help us to know the greatness of the prayer, importance of prayer, so that we may come to Him and take part in the great ministry of prayer. Because when we pray, we are more like Jesus, especially when we pray for the others. And He says, somebody has said that prayer changes the things or the situations. Not only that, prayer changes the people. Not only it changes the things and the situations and the people, it touches me. When I'm praying, unless it touches me, it's not a prayer. First, it touches me. When I am praying for missionaries or the evangelism which is going around the world, when I am praying, if it doesn't touch my life, my pocket, my account, or my life, it's not a prayer. There is something wrong. So when a high priest enters into the presence of God, when he offers that offering, that incense, when he comes out, people can feel that smell. And when he goes to his house, his children may ask, "Father, have you offered that incense?" So he touches first us. In the Bible also, if you see the men of God, when they prayed, they were not the same before. They were not the same before. Like when Isaiah was in the presence of God, when he was in touch with the Father, he was saying, "Lord, I will go. Send me." And Moses was in touch with the God and said, "Lord, I am not worthy to go. Please enable." See, the Peter, when he saw the great miracle which he has done on the banks of the seashore, he said, "Falling down, it fell. I am an unworthy servant. Please leave for me." So when we enter into the presence of God in prayer, it touches us. And he will make use of us so that we may touch others. May Lord help us through this chapter, and Lord may speak to us. You may ask Lord what he wants to teach us. It may be just an overview of the 17th chapter, so that Lord may teach in our daily life what he's going to speak to us through this chapter. Lord bless us and bless his word in our lives. Thank you.